Part of that morning routine means you got to get some spoken word in your life. You got to get you some different hats in your life because, I mean, I got a man of many, 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 many hats. I had to add a little bit more many on there because he does a lot. And I won't even go all the way into all of them because if that's the case, then that's all I'm going to be saying. The whole interview is everything that he does. But I will say this, though. He was a multimillionaire and lost what he thought was everything. Now, of course, he had quite a story. I don't want to give away too much of that story right now because then we would have nothing to talk about. But I will say this, though. He is a multi-talented brother. And when I say multi-talented brother, I'm talking about the spoken word poet, author, motivational speaker. I mean, he's even done comedy. I mean, he's done it all. When you hear that song, you speak of this man right here. Done it all. Because he is that multi-talented in everything that he does. And he does it very, very well at an esteemed high level. So, right now, without further ado, I don't even want to talk too much. What I want to do is go ahead and introduce the man, the one, the only, Kamal Speaks. Good morning to you, my brother. How you doing?
How you doing? I want to say what's up to everybody on 102.6. I want to thank y'all for having me out. It's a great honor. Thank you.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's a great day. And when there's great days, there are great days. But then there were tough times as well that you had to deal with that you went through, but you definitely found ways to come out of. So I got to do this like I do with all of my guests. I take it back to the old school. Take it to Union Square. I got to go back to the start of the journey. So when you were coming up, what was the one thing out of everything that you do now that most intrigued you? Was it the poetry? Was it writing? Was it being a comedian? What was it?
Well, you know, all that was different phases in my life. I didn't start poetry until July 2020.
Oh, wow.
I wrote two poems like 20 years ago, but I wouldn't say that was starting poetry. I wrote those to get a girl. So
we're going to ask about that in a second. We got to ask about that because we have all done that as men. A time or two we've tried a hand at it. But no, go ahead.
So, I mean, it was just different phases in life, you know. I just want to skip back on to one thing you said. You said, you know, we love the good days, but talk about the hard days. I think the hard days are good days. They're the greatest days because they teach you the most lessons. I mean, when you look back on them, you smile. When you look back on a bad day that you made it through, you smile. So that was a great day. You know, I can't really say which one motivated me more, I got more thoughts of, because every step in my life was to lead me to my path, my purpose. So it all played the same amount.
And you know, it's interesting because you've experienced, for what most people say, the highs and the lowest points of life, right? You were a multimillionaire at one point. How did it even feel to be a multimillionaire? A lot of people don't understand it, especially in the black community. We don't understand what it means to be a multimillionaire. And when you get it, what do you feel? What are your feelings like at that point?
That's a great question. You know, a lot of people, especially before I had it, I thought everything would be great. Once I had the millions, everything would be great. When I got them, I ain't gonna lie, it was like emptiness because I had built my whole life on something to obtain something that I thought would give me an ultimate high, ultimate goal. And, you know, I got a poem where I say, I wanted to drive the luxury cars, live in the luxury spots. I was fiending for the Rolex. When I put it on, it felt like a regular watch. At that moment, time stopped. So, you know, it's not cracked. It's not cracked up. It's not what it is. And it's not what you think it is. So, you know, a lot of people are millionaires and don't even know it because the richness is in the soul.
You know what? And that's great that you said that, because there are a lot of people that don't think on that particular mindset as far as the wealth that they already have within them. Wealth comes in different kind of ways and different forms, and it could resonate throughout your family. Even just family values. Talk about the family values that you grew up on, because when you grow up on those family values, it makes you rich inside. It makes you wealthy inside, as you just alluded to. So speak about the family values that made you the man you are today.
You know, the family values, and let me break something down. Family is community, household.
Right.
And so the family values I came up on in my era was, you know, your word was your bond.
Right.
You know, you wanna help other people. Mm-hmm. You know, we used to help each other, look out for one another. You know, when I was a kid running through the neighborhood, it was older people who watch out for me and also give me a whooping, and would be no problem.
Yeah.
You know, it was community. So when I look at stuff like that, you know, being trustworthy, being generous, you know, hardworking, you know, you could have all the talent in the world, but if you don't work, nobody would know it. You'll be a waste of talent. So these are things I learned that I see them stripping away from society right now, because society is built on no morals, no values, and hard work is out the window. Mm-hmm. Loyalty's out the window. You know, I mean, people lie like it's going out of style.
That's facts. And
what they call it, capping? They're capping.
Yeah.
It's a lot of cap guns.
It's a lot of ball caps being worn out here.
Exactly.
In these streets. But you know what? In we talked about the high point of being a multimillionaire, but then still, then when you get to that point, one thing that I've learned is that if you're not humble enough or you're not thinking about it, it can be taken away in an instant. So you also had to go through things in life as well. What were the concepts that you put in place to get through those particular challenges? Because keep in mind, and yeah, for full transparency, I hadn't been a multimillionaire yet, but in my mindset, I'm a multimillionaire, right? The way that I operate on a day-to-day makes me a multimillionaire. Thinking highly of yourself, you consider yourself a multimillionaire. You monetarily, you don't have to be rich, but you can be rich in your mindset. And so, July 2020, let's go back to that time for a second. Because a lot of times we can have it all and then the bottom drop out. And you have to start life. It's almost like starting life all over again. What were the concepts that you put in place, and what was your mindset like during that time to get you back to a better state of life where you are now?
Well, it wasn't things I put in play. I'm going to be honest with you. When all this started to happen and go down, and you know, I had $2 million stolen from me. I had to spend a lot of money on frivolous charges from a young lady who you could say I was dating. I took my car back. She took out fake charges. I had to spend thousands. When I say thousands, like in the high thousands, for lawyers, bail, all that. She was out to get me. But I was so lost. Like, you know, I was lost before I lost the money. And before that, you know, I didn't know. You know, I hit a pinnacle. I hit a certain mark, and it wasn't what I thought. And I didn't know what was coming next. So I'm going to be honest. In 2020, by this time, I'm relaxed in my van, sleeping in my van, because nobody's calling me. You know them phone calls when you got that money. Nine times out of ten, that's people asking you for money and not how you're doing. So it's no more phone calls. I don't look at TV on my phone. So it's just me to myself.
Right.
And you know, that was God's purpose. That was God's plan. And then I start to think more. And as I thought more, I start to like really want to speak more.
Yeah.
And then I said, man, I got to get this out of me because, I'm generating new ideas. I'm just thinking about stuff right. So hard. And then in the back of my mind, I said, write a poem. I said, you know what? I am.
Right.
I wrote a poem.
Yeah.
And it turned out it was so great to me, first and foremost. Then I was telling everybody, and I was talking to a friend of mine. Matter of fact, he's a comedian. He played in Baby Boy. He's at the end. With Vim Rhymes, remember they was laying on, that's him, and his name Freddie Ricks, and I told him the poem, he's like, yo, you should make a video for it. Now, right. Mind you, I'm homeless, but I'm still hustling,
yeah.
So I still know how to make some money, so exactly. I took the money that I had, and I invested it in the video. Mm-hmm. It turns out that this video goes crazy, but the guy I hire for it, mm-hmm. He has his own production company. He shoots commercials for Ruth's Chris, all the big restaurants, big right. Big things like that. Mm. And he loves my poetry. Mm. So now I'm shooting these poetry videos. I'm writing poems. After the first one, I'm writing poems like every three weeks. Right. I'm 2 weeks, I'm writing a poem. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, I'm spending money, like money I ain't got. Grip. Yeah, and next thing you know, he was like, yo, I see you struggling, like you putting your last dollar into this dope, but why are you doing this? I mean, what's the end goal? I said, I don't know, but I got to keep going, you know? Mm-hmm. And as I'm writing these poems, getting these videos made, I'm going to the park, spitting my poetry for free. I don't even got merch. And next thing you know, he was like, when I came up with the bright idea, I was like, yo, you know what? We should shoot a movie. Mm. And I got a little brother who I haven't talked to. We had bumped heads because I was a millionaire. He was a director working with Spike Lee and all that. And he worked with Hulu, Max, and all that. So, you know, we both was feeling ourselves. We said something, never talked to each other again for years. And it turns out at this time, COVID happened. He wasn't working. I'm living in the van. I give him a call, I let him hear my poetry, he's blown away. And all this comes together for the movie that you see about to come out.
It's interesting. We're going to talk about the movie in just a second here, but you sparked something because July 2020, height of COVID, right? A lot of people are uncertain about what they want to do. Even we started this morning show in the pandemic, April of 2020. So the pandemic tended to really get people in a mindset of, you know what, I don't really have the job security that I thought. So let me try to do something for myself. If I'm going to be here in this house, if I'm going to be sheltered in place, I need to find something to do. And then people now finally dig deep and harness their raw talent and make it work. And now, here in 2024, look at what's happening. And so, what did you basically learn from this particular experience, that advice you can give to people out here in Radio Land that are listening to this in this position, in the same position that you were July 2020, and have no idea how to move forward?
The best advice I can give you is free up your attention span. I mean, when I say that means it's a lot of stuff meant to distract you. Instagram, television, partying. Sometimes mm-hmm. you have to be to yourself,
right?
You know, or in a room of collective thinkers, because you'll never find out what you're truly good at if you're always distracted. So you got to give some time to find out who you are, what mm-hmm. your power is. And trust me, the more you spend, because that's the hardest conversation you ever going to have, is with yourself. But you got to have that conversation to know your next level. You got to be with yourself, you know? I have conversations with myself all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they call that crazy, right? I think it's crazy when you don't talk to yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And that really gets your mind jogging on what to do next when you're talking it out. It's best to communicate with self to get whatever you need to out, but also find answers. And then those answers have now led to you doing major, major things in on the spoken word circuit. You've got a book out. You've got books out, right? Then you also have a poetry special as well. Then spoken truth. Let's get into spoken truth, because this documentary is going to be powerful to the word, to the world of spoken word. Try to say that three times fast, right? To the world of spoken word artistry. So how did we get to the level of getting to spoken truth?
Like I told you, that movie was made while I was in my van. Like,
yeah.
Sleeping in my van. So at the end of the day, I just wanted to give, you know, we got so many facets of life that they're trying to eliminate or don't want to give exposure to, you know. It's a certain plan out there to only expose twerking and ignorant play from our people.
Bro.
And you know, right? What's so crazy? Even right now, dealing with the movie, dealing with the promotion, Instagram is really like trying to throw every monkey wrench to stop the promotion because, you know, it's a certain agenda, but that's a whole different story.
A whole different story.
So, but my whole thing is, it started from the van, you know, and me just wanting the world to understand that life is poetry. And, you know, we got some strong characters in the movie. We got Yandy from Love and Hip Hop. She plays a magnificent role. She plays a great role in real life. The documentary is real life. To the poetry movement, all the help she's given me stages. She's given other poets stages, and, you know, that's very important. Michael Kaya, the comedian, he showed nothing but support. He also is a poet.
Great guy, yeah.
That's another thing. You know, a lot of these people who are stars, you know, started off as poets.
Yes.
But, you know, right now, they don't pay poets, so they had to go in different lanes.
Mm-hmm.
So, we got Spliff Star, you know, Busta Rhymes, Spliff Star.
Legend.
I grew up with him, and he loves my poetry, you know. We got him in the movie. We got a couple of people, and we got Brandon Leak, who won a, what is that, Who Got Talent?
Yeah.
The only poet to win. So we got him in the movie. We got a lot of big names, but it's not just a sit-down documentary. We're taking you through the city.
Yeah.
We're taking you through multiple cities. We're taking you on a ride.
Yeah, because the poetry scene and the poetry styles are different in different cities, from New York to Philly to Atlanta. You know, different cities that you go to have different lanes of poetry. You notice that some people do spoken word a little differently, or they're speaking about something different that when they speak, we find it more relatable when we visit that city or something of that. Oh, that's what they were talking about. And then you also get into your conscious mind.
And you just hit it on the head. Like I was telling somebody the other day when they was asking me about my book. My book is called Word, Thoughts, Manifestation. It's 17 poems, 17 stories.
Yes.
A story's about the poem. The true poetry is the story behind the poem. What motivated that poem? What got you to say this? You know, what triggered this?
Right.
And that's what we take you at with the movie. What triggered this? And that's where you're going to be blown away. Because you're going to be blown away with the poetry. But to understand, like, to be in the back room as Michael Jackson's writing Thriller and understand his motivation from writing Thriller, that takes you to a whole nother level. You're like,
sure,
oh, my goodness. You could make a movie about Michael Jackson writing Thriller and everything he went through up until that point. I tell you, it'll sell out. Because that story is more important than the song.
Exactly. Everybody, matter of fact, the behind the scenes, now is more important than the actual movie itself, because then you see what happens behind, when you see what happens behind the scenes, like, oh, you gain a different kind of understanding, a heightened level of understanding for the craft. And that is where key things really come into play. And that's where the popularity tends to grow for whatever. If you do a movie about anything, it gives a heightened sense of awareness to the particular brand, that particular style of poetry, what have you. So it's really good that you have this going on. And I haven't really seen too many documentaries about spoken word poets and what they deal with and what their world looks like. And it's an in-depth look at the world of spoken word poetry. It's in-depth. So you're going to get transparency. If we can't tell our stories transparently, then who will? That means, guess what? You have to do it because it hasn't been done. And if it has been done, is it as powerful as what we are going to witness in spoken truth? That's where the difference maker comes into play. And so that's why I said, this is something to watch, people. Spoken truth. And by the way, from what I understand, we're still in the editing stage right now, from what I understand. Oh, no. Or is it ready to come out?
Oh, it's ready. It's ready.
Yes. Come on now. Come on. It's ready.
It's ready. We're going to speak on that on another day. It should be hitting the TVs really soon.
Oh, okay. So that means you're going to come back and we're going to talk more in depth about spoken truth. It comes out.
Yeah, we're going to have you on the red carpet at the premiere.
Hey! You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. This is what it is. Brother Rob, always on the job. Let me know when it is. We're going to have that conversation off air, my brother. But I do want to go into this. When it comes to poetry, so many poets have written so many different things, and you've written a lot of poems in your time, right? What's your favorite?
Well, of theirs or mine?
Yours.
I don't have a favorite. I love all my poetry. Like, I mean, I got go-to poems that I might say on the spot, but, you know, I mean, all my poetry hits different. You know what my favorite poem is?
Yeah.
Every time I write a new one, it becomes my favorite.
Hey. I knew a powerful answer was coming up. There was one guest that came and said, my favorite song, I haven't written it yet.
Yeah.
And it's because everything that they do is a work in progress. It shows their not only their personal growth, but their growth as an artist. Yeah. And that's the same thing that I see of you. You don't really consider a favorite if you have to choose one. You're going to choose all of them. Why? Because you put in a particular set of work and particular suave to it that makes it great. There's not a lot of people that are gifted that can do that.
I'm gonna be honest with you. The work is before the poem or even writing it, you know. The work is, especially in poetry, I don't know if it's the same in singing, it's the paying attention, the really paying attention to yourself. Yeah. You know, God gives us signals and signs what to do, and we fight them. Mm-hmm. You know, we fight that gut feeling, which is a spirit. We fight it. It says, do this. And most of all of my poems, it just comes to me, mm-hmm. and I don't fight it. You know, I've lost a couple of dope poems. I was like, I should do this. And then I go and do something else, and it just went because I didn't pay attention to it. Because I don't write my poems down. I do all my poems.
Off the top.
Yeah, I write my poems in my head.
You know, and that's interesting because I was just going to ask you about writer's block, but sometimes when you have it in your head, that is a form of writer's block where you didn't pay attention to that and it became lost in the sauce. But then you have greater ones that can suffice and make up for it. So it's like you're not really thinking about it anyway, but you wish you had it back. It's yeah. kind of like that.
I'm going to be honest. I don't remember them. It's so much great material. I don't never want to lose another one. So that's why, you know, that happened like early on.
Yeah.
I don't never want to lose another one. So when it comes to me, mm-hmm. it comes to me. I'm on it. I'm experiencing it. I'm writing it. I'm backgrounding it. I'm never leaving it alone.
Brings up a great question. Glad you said that, because everything comes from the top of your mind, right? You ever been live performing? I mean, I remember you said you were performing just last night. And have you ever had a time where you're performing, right? And something just came to you right then. It didn't really even, like, sit in the whole day, but it just popped in your mind right as you got on stage. And then when you got off stage, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I did that. Then you go back and look at the video, like, oh, yeah, I did that. Have you had those kind of moments?
What, you mean like just I go on stage and just make up a poem right there?
Yeah, like literally live on stage.
I never
Has
done.
Has that ever happened?
No, I've never done that. I take what I do serious. Like, I don't, like, I think when people come out, you should give them what they're coming out for. You know, not saying you shouldn't. If you got the vibe, I just didn't have that vibe. The way I look at things is like, I'm going to give you, first and foremost, I want to teach you and I want to entertain you.
Right.
So, you know, I was at a spot yesterday and only like 9 people was there and they was like, we're going to cancel. I said, what?
What for? Yeah. I said, these people came to see something. Give them what they came to see.
I said, if it's 1 on 1,000, we're going to do a show.
Exactly.
1 on 1,000.
We're committed.
This is what I do. I mean,
we're not interested. We're committed.
Exactly.
What you mean?
I'm invested.
Right.
So, and when people come out, you know, I've had more success dealing with an intimate, and I do crowds. My shows, when I throw my personal shows, I have anywhere from 200 to 300 people there.
Yeah.
At my shows, you know, my small shows are about 60-70 people. But my whole thing is, I've got more connections, successful connections in little crowds. You'd be surprised who I met in 10 crowd people. Like, don't you know? Yeah, I can do this. And I'm with this person. I'm with this.
They sound exactly like that, too, by the way. No cap. They sound exactly like that.
Yeah, so my whole thing is, you know, when you're too big, you know, I've heard people say this. Oh, I ain't performing unless they pay me. Oh, it ain't enough people in here. You know, Russell Simmons told LL, he said, you perform everywhere and you perform for free until people have no choice but to pay you.
True.
When you're ready to put that type of work in, you're ready to go to the next level. And a lot of us are not ready to put that work in, you know. And that's the difference, you know. Like, where I go in Atlanta, I've only been in Atlanta for 2 years, you know, and I feel good. Like, I mean, literally, especially lately, every day when I'm out, I have so many people. Kamal speaks to poet. Oh, what's up? What's up? And you know, I don't know him from a hole in the wall because I meet 200 people a day. But they remember me. So that means I had a major impact. My poetry had a major impact. And I'm so grateful to them and grateful for that, you know?
Right.
But that comes from a lot of, you know, a lot of people want that. Or want what they see other people have, but they don't know the sweat. They don't know me walking 10 miles a day because I ain't have no car. Sweating in the summer, freezing in the winter. Bro. 10 miles. Me having to get on the train, the bus, and that train be stinking, you know? Yeah. all the people don't understand how hard you have to work to get to where you need to be.
Yeah, I mean, the sweat equity is a real thing out here, and you got to go through it in order to grow through it. And that's really the major purpose. Do we know our purpose? And when we know our purpose, do we have enough tenacity to really go after it? And that tends to be a question a lot for the Black community. Are we hungry enough to go for it a lot? Some people, if they don't get it instantly in a social media age where now you can get it more instant than ever, then back in the 90s, the 80s, even the early 2000s, you still had to hustle a lot harder, even though the technology was there then, but not on the magnitude or level that it is now, where things are quick.
But what they fail to understand is it's just like the NBA or NFL. You may think people are blowing up quick. Most of the people who you see come out of nowhere have been doing this for 10, 20 years and just Facts. Finally broke through, and they've been working super hard. And the people who do make it like overnight, it's not too many of them. It's like if you got in this city, if you got 5,000 basketball, well, forget that, 20,000 basketball players,
right?
One of them might make it to the NBA. So that's the same thing. You got 20,000 Instagrammers or whatever you want to call them, one of y'all might make it to be really big, you know, where you're making a lot of money from it just because you. But see, a lot of people don't understand that, you know, they think, that's what they're teaching right now. They're teaching us to be lazy, sit back, and, you know.
They a lot want to see us too laid back and too comfortable. And that's what it is. And because, you know, some too comfortable can really destroy us. Yeah. And it's already doing so.
I've had people who would rather sit down for 8 to 10 hours and make $12 an hour instead of investing in themselves. And going, I tell them, yo, look, I go out every day and I sell my books. I sell me about 10 to 15 books a day within 2 hours. And I make anywhere from $250 to $400 every day from that.
Right.
And people are like, I couldn't do that. You got to walk up to people.
And truly, they actually could, but they never really figured out a way to tap into their potential, or they refuse to tap into that potential. There's some that actually refuse to tap into that potential. They have.
I mean, listen, I'm not working for nobody.
Facts.
I'm not going to say never. You never know what you have to do in life. That word, never. But I don't want to. You know, my book has been out since August, end of August.
Yes.
And I've sold over 3,400 to 3,600 copies. I've made over 90,000 off of my book.
Nice. Awesome. So, you know, with a powerful book like that, I mean, it was bound to be a bestseller anyway.
Yeah, but guess what? It's not a bestseller. Only 3,600 copies. But guess what?
In my mind, it's a bestseller. I'm always going to say it's a bestseller because it's doing what it's supposed to do. It's reaching some people. People invested in you, and they actually took the time out to gain the wealth of knowledge that they did not have before they bought the book. So it's still, in my mind, a bestseller. Not a bestseller by monetarily, but a bestseller from shifting the paradigm of people's mind.
No, I understand exactly what you're saying, but for the listeners, I want them to know it's not a bestseller, and I still made over 90,000. So imagine.
Right.
Imagine what you can do when you invest in yourself.
Facts.
And truly invest in yourself. Not spend a couple of dollars and sit back and say, oh, what's going to happen? You have to put that work in. You got to walk that road. You got to really go hard, and you'll be surprised what you can do.
Absolutely. And final question for you today, and it's been a powerful conversation. As the shirt says, power over everything. I love that shirt, man.
Thank you.
Where you get that from, man?
Well, actually, this is my homeboy's podcast.
Yeah.
You know, when I wrote my first poem, he invited me to the podcast.
Uh-huh.
And you know what's so crazy? In the business I was in, he was in, but, you know, I was a boss. He was like notches down in the position, and I really didn't know him like that. Yeah. I knew him like what's up, but I didn't know him. And then when I wrote the poem, he invited me out. He was like, man, I just thought you were so powerful in the business we was in. Mm-hmm. And he said, nah, you're even powerful in poetry. He gave me this shirt. And you know, he got a really big Instagram and TikTok right now. He does some speaking. And he's actually the voice in my movie, the narrator in my movie.
Awesome. Matter of fact, shout him out because that is that shirt is literally everything. It's like if you hold up the shirt and read the message, if you don't let it go over your head and read the innuendo there and how it's positioned, the words are positioned, you'll never get it or you're not paying attention. Shout him out.
Shout out to Big Fonzo out in North Carolina.
Kakalaki? In Kakalaki?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Shout out, my boy. Keep doing your numbers.
Man, let me tell you. First of all, this has been a powerful conversation, and thank you for having that conversation with me. But besides the movie, besides the special, what's next for Kamau Speaks?
To be honest, just to bring awareness, you know. Mm-hmm. Everything I do is to bring awareness. Mm-hmm. You know, to bring awareness to my thought process, to what I believe is going on, what I believe can help the people. So I just want to magnify my voice to be more of a, you know, of a leader or to spark the next leader. We have no leaders in our community. We mm-hmm. look to celebrities as leaders. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to generate real leaders or become that leader if I have to. So that's what's next for me.
Absolutely. So one thing we are definitely looking forward to, we got several things to look forward to. Your poetry special coming soon. We have Spoken Truth, which you've already let me know. The red carpet is coming. I'll be ready. And on top of that, what about performances? When's your next performance?
Well, I perform all the time, but my show, I don't know the next show I'll be putting on, but any performances I got coming up, I post them on my page. I perform all the time, but I can't think of it offhand right now.
Okay, but so when you do post them, where can the people find, follow you, connect, and support you?
Kamau Speaks, K-A-M-A-L, Speaks, with the number one on all platforms. I like to keep it simple. And you can remove the number one if you want to do Cash App.
I like that. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, powerful conversation means the world, and it definitely means the world. This is what we have this platform for, to have powerful conversation and hear the stories of powerful people that are doing many, many different things. We've had several multi-talented individuals here, but there's nothing like the story. There's nothing like hearing about the journey, because the next generation is watching us. And we have to make sure that we are leading them into the next facets of life the way it needs to be. And that, and in a positive manner as well. Seeing positive images of us where the world likes to connotate negativity about the Black community. Yeah. So I love seeing these positive images, and that's what our platform is all about, telling our stories transparently and making sure that we highlight those that are really making moves happen positively in the community. And you, my brother, are doing that, and I want you to continue to do that. You got even bigger things coming, man. You got big things coming, but there's even bigger happening on another level, and that will happen within a year. I speak everything into existence. Every time a guest comes here, I speak something into existence. You're no different. You got something coming that it's going to be hard to catch up with you moving forward, because you're going to be doing so much. I can't wait to see what the next leg of the journey is going to be looking like, and it's going to look great. So
I thank you. But you know, I can't lead the people without giving them a poem.
Exactly. And you took the words right out of my mouth. You got it, my brother. By the way, before you do that, just in case, don't cuss. No.
Oh, I don't.
No, I know. I'm messing. No, because I'm being like, oh, man, I didn't give him the disclaimer. But no, but you got the floor, my brother.
How do I write a love letter to myself? When there's no ink in the pen, only pent up anger, and when I look in the mirror, only see a stranger. Different than my childhood version, my notepad must be intoxicated, cause my words are slurring, know the truth I'm curving. See, my cursive turns into cursed words when I'm writing about myself, screaming for help, cause I'm overboard with my penmanship and my life raft is a rough draft. I'm serious, I don't know where to put the period, but I need it to stop. How long does it last? What I'm going through is an ongoing paragraph. Sentences running wild, words without vowels. No wonder I'm not married. No matrimony. My words are misspelt, so how can you read my testimony? When writing with pencil, it comes with an eraser, so I can erase her or trace her. But that would be drawing me to a new conclusion that my life story needs no loose ends. It's a nuisance. Every day I'm falling into new sins. But I want to write psalms. I don't want to write about my wrongs. I just want to write my wrongs. And that's when the questions start. Can I end the sentence with a question mark? But I have no one to ask. Because it's just me, myself, and I. And we don't get along. We brawl. So I write because they say the pen is mightier than the sword. So I guess writing is my safe place. Because words have no face. It's just upper and lower case. So in the case, how do I write myself a love letter? Do I love better or do I love letters? I think I know what the answer might be. But if y'all know, please write me.
Woo! Yeah, y'all go see him. Y'all go follow him right now. Yo, let me tell you, man. You're going to leave me speechless. I'm going to have to go to a song right now, man. Cause that right there, you after hearing that, you just got to sit and just kind of...
Thank you.
How you started off that... Like, bruh, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, look, man, I want to thank you so much for being on the Morning Machine. You'll be back. You will be back. You will be back. More ways than one. So just understand, people, you already know. You heard them now, but you're going to hear them again and again and again throughout the year. You can't get rid of me even if you try, brother. You know what I'm saying? But, yo, understandably, phenomenally powerful. I thank you, thank you, thank you for everything that you do, everything that you have done, and everything that you will do in the future. So I appreciate you being on and making the machine a part of your daily morning routine. And listen, folks, hey, he delivered a serious spoken word just now.